Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern. For Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org. or at hisholychurch.org, go to the network links, or go to preparingyou.com, join the network there. It's all the same, and we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints, but they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you
want to
hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Okay, class. We want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the Tree of Liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello, everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com. Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we'll have Joanne Moretti joining us here in just a minute. And if you have anything out there in radio land that you want to share, please give us a call. The number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into our conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and get Joanne in here. Joanne, welcome.
Hello to you. Hello, Freedomizers. Hey, Proof. Hey, Proof, are you calling from inside your car? You got a little bit of back scatter in you.
No, I don't have a cell phone, and I got home last night.
I don't know. It just sounds like scratchy.
Oh, I'm on my old phone. I had to send my new phone back last week, so I'm on my old phone again until I get my new one in the mail.
Okay, it just sounds like you got a fan going in the background. That's a little. Oh, okay. Well, that's a little better. Yeah, that's much better now. So.
Yeah, I forgot I put the fan.
How was your trip?
It happened. It was there. It was okay. Nothing bad happened.
No, so everything was good.
It worked out.
All righty. So what's going on in the world? Anything you want to bring up or want to jump right in?
Before we get into some big news, I posted this earlier. Not that I'm really a huge fast food guy, but Whataburger has to be the most overrated burger chain in the United States.
Really? I've never been to one, but a lot of people talk about them.
Oh, they don't have any out there by you? I know they're in Jacksonville, so that one I went to a few years back I thought was okay, but I've been to a couple since then, and I've just been underwhelmed.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard, that they were all right, but I never have actually been to one to critique it. Why? What was wrong with it?
It's just everybody makes it out to be this outstanding burger chain, and it's just... It's basically one step ahead of GMO King and McGMO.
Oh, well, that's not good. I like to go to a regular mom-and-pop place where they have a hand-pressed burger. All you need on it is a little salt and pepper. You don't need any garlic or onions or any of that. Sometimes too much is too much. Put some cheese on it, and I'm good. But I don't like frozen burgers. I don't like the... I don't know. There's just something about them. I like just a nice, fresh, hand-pressed burger. I'd rather have a burger at home than go out and be disappointed.
My favorite burger chain, I don't know if they are in your area or not, is Culver's.
Yes, they have a Culver's. They have two Culver's here, actually. They just built another one.
That's my favorite food chain of all time.
Is it? I don't know. I haven't been there. My kids go there. They like it.
Yeah, I got our favorite trucker friend, Vito. I got him going there now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he loves that place.
I like Vito.
Maybe more than I do.
I like Vito. I like when he calls in. He makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of that, today they approved lab meat. Did you know that?
I knew that. We're talking about it where Bill Gates is the primary owner of this.
Mm-hmm. Probably what he was doing in China the other day. But it says, U.S. regulators approved the sale of chicken made from cultivated cells. It's the nation's first lab-grown meat, and that's from the Associated Press. Lab-grown meat. So is it cloned? What is it? I've seen the, Impossible Burgers, but those are plant-based. This is a lab-grown meat. What did they grow it from? And how did they grow it?
What, like stem cells or something, I guess?
I don't know. Did they clone it? It doesn't say. It just said that, U.S. regulators have approved the sale of lab-grown meat. Yeah, I wouldn't eat it. Absolutely no way I would eat that.
No.
Anything you got to lab grow. If it's not earth-grown or, you know, like bovine or something, I don't want it. I don't want anything that tastes like chicken. If I want something that tastes like chicken, I'll order the chicken.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I don't like people messing with foods. Is this supposed to feed the world? So that what they're going to do, they're going to starve us. They're going to kill off all the cows and chickens, and they've been doing a good job of it. And then they want us to eat lab-grown stuff. What's in it? Why do they want us to eat that?
They're also stopping the growth of rice.
Yeah, that's supposed to be bad for the planet. Yeah, you got people that take private jets to Switzerland telling you to give up your cars, your stoves, your furnaces, and give up meat, give up rice for the planet. There's not too many people. The planet is just fine. We have plenty of oil. We have an abundance of food. We have a sufficient amount of waters. We've learned how to put a pipeline in and transport it to places that need it. They're shutting us down because they want to eliminate us. They feel that we there's too many of us. We're called useless eaters. So they only need so many people to run their factories and to buy their products and to grow their food. And won't need too many because there's not going to be that many people. They're literally telling us they're going to starve us. They always tell us what they're doing. But they're going to starve you. They're going to freeze you. They're going to control how you cook, what you cook, if you cook. You can't chop firewood down anymore. You need a permit to cut a tree, and you're not going to get a permit. You know, like, this stop oil, you're not going to get a permit. So what are people going to do? You know, back in Boston, we changed from oil furnaces to gas furnaces, and now they don't want you to have gas furnaces. They want you to have electric furnaces. Why? We have plenty of natural gas. And it's clean burning. Remember when they made all the buses and public transportation switch to clean burning natural gas? So the buses run on it. Homes run on it. You know, you're not going to be able to get propane. You're not going to be able to cut firewood. You're not going to have a coal or a oil furnace. If you have an electric furnace, they can shut your electricity off at any time with their little smart meters. They don't even have to come down and touch the box. They can just flip a switch at the office and shut down the whole grid. That's total control. That's too much. I saw a meme a few minutes ago, and it said, when the animals in the jungle start screaming out warnings, none of the other animals ask about the motive of it. They just follow their instincts. When people shout out warnings, other people, their senses, their instincts have been dulled by years and years of conditioning. So they question the motive. You know, and here we are screaming. You got to pay attention. You're not alone. Everybody's been meant to feel like they're the only one that feel that way. The TV is all saturated with stuff that you don't believe in. The media is lying to you constantly, and you know they're lying. Everything is upside down, and you know it. And you think you're the only one. You know, you're thinking, well, if the rest of the world feels like this, I must be the only one. No, you're not. Everybody sees it. Everybody sees it, but they're afraid to speak up about it. They're afraid they're going to be ridiculed, or the liberals are going to come after them, or they're going to get canceled. Uncancel yourself. Don't allow yourself to be canceled. Speak up. And once you start speaking up, everybody around you will start speaking up too. You know, I was in a group of people the other day, and we were discussing Trump, actually. And a couple of things, you know, the good things that he had done come up. And I said, you know, I believe he's the only man on the planet who can save us. I don't care if you like him or you despise him. You all know it. And this woman came up to me and she whispered to me, I agree with you. She whispered to me that she agreed with me. Because she was afraid to speak up. But here she is thinking she's alone. And when she found out she wasn't alone, she spoke up, even just to a whisper, but she spoke up. You know, that's a first step. You know, look around, find the others.
Well, why is it that everybody is so scared of saying...
I don't know, but that came to me in a dream, the words, find the others.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa. Yeah, just over and over. Why is it everybody so scared? Because the media is bludgeoning people that speak up. When you spoke up about those COVID vaccines, you were shut down, you lost your job, you were ridiculed publicly, like some of these doctors, like that Dr. Malone and other doctors that were trying to scream out the warnings. They were shut down tighter than a drum. So if you see it happen to them, you'd be like, oh, no. If you speak out at work, the other employees will look at you. And to go along with the crowd, they'll all start humiliating you. Even though in their hearts they don't believe it and they agree with you, they'll try to fit in because what if they don't? You know, they're going to lose their job. They're going to lose their reputation. Their family's going to make fun of them. But when they finally do open their mouth, they find out that others around them feel the same way. And those that say they don't, they're lying. Or they're just oblivious. But I'm going with lying because at this point, I mean, the people that are doing this, the syndicate, and it's not even elected officials, they're going along with it, but it's the people who go to Davos, the World Economic Forum. Who are these people like Klaus Schwab? We didn't elect him. We're Americans. We should start acting like it. You know, Bill Gates, he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He was a computer nerd who invented viruses and antiviruses to fight the viruses he created. He made a lot of money doing it, so now he's, what, the king of the world? He knows so much? No, he doesn't. He learned to code. But now he's got too much money. So he's running around the world trying to eliminate the population to create vaccines. He's not a researcher. What does he know about vaccines? And he's buying up farmland. What does he know about farming? Really? We've got to start asking ourselves these questions. He knows nothing. All he knows is he thinks there's too many people in the world and he wants to eliminate them. He's a diabolical, sinister character. That's what he is.
So let me, I was hoping that I could have played this, but I'm not able to upload the clip, so I'm going to play it off of TikTok.
Go ahead.
So I have to grab it for a minute. So we got a minute, so go ahead.
Yeah. You know what? Who is this Bill Gates guy? And others like him. Who's this Dr. Fauci? Fauci created a vaccine and a virus. He manipulated viruses. He spent all kinds of taxpayer money. I don't want to call it government money because the government doesn't have any money. All they got is what they took from the taxpayers. So he took all this taxpayer money, and when he couldn't do his gain of function in the United States, he took that taxpayer money and got himself a place in Wuhan, in China. And China was more than happy to allow him to do his research there because they were getting in on what the research was, you know, so they could create bioweapons too. And that's exactly what this was a bioweapon. It wasn't accidentally released. It got out of that laboratory, but he already had a vaccine waiting in the wings. And he made a lot of money off that vaccine, so much money that, and especially because all these governments were buying these vaccines, it didn't even cost that much to make them, but boy, they wanted them and they spent the money. Trillions of dollars were spent on those vaccines. These drug companies made all kinds of money. And just by knowing that, you should know that we're going to have another one. You see how profitable this one was? China made loads of money. They sold all the protection stuff, the masks, the gowns, you know, the medicines. China sells all kinds of medicines. Has all these deals with the pharmaceutical companies. They're getting kickbacks left and right. Yeah, there's a lot of money in this. So I can guarantee you there's going to be another one just because of that fact. And they tell us. Fauci told us there'll be another one. One of those newscasters, I think it was on 60 Minutes, he was telling us there was going to be another one, and it's going to be worse. So,
and this one's going to target children.
Yeah, this one will target the children. So make sure you put those poisons in them so we can make money.
If you target the children, then people are more likely to listen because they're willing to put themselves at risk, but they'll do anything to protect their children. So the
right.
The globalists have learned that.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
Let me go ahead and play this, this clip for you here.
Sure.
So this one is labeled, the World Economic Forum called the pandemics years ago.
All attended the same school of thought and studied under the same professor. Say this revolution is characterized by the fight of robots against human beings, and we will win this fight. Professor Klaus Schwab was born in 1938 in Ravensburg, Germany, where Nazi crimes against humanity were committed. His father, Eugen Wilhelm Schwab, was the managing director of Escher Weiss Ravensburg, a company that used slave labor to manufacture weapons of war for the Third Reich. While Klaus's father was at the helm, the Nazi Party awarded Escher Weiss Ravensburg the title of National Socialist Model Company. Years later, Klaus Schwab joined the board of directors at Escher Weiss Ravensburg, where he played a key role in the development of South Africa's nuclear weapons program during the darkest years of the racist apartheid regime. Today, Klaus Schwab is the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum.
If you'd like to meet the people who are supposed to repair the state of the world, or give a piece of your mind to the bankers who helped get us into this mess, we can tell you where to find a lot of them.
All right.
Yeah. So they have a long history. These people were groomed for this. Their whole lives. This is a culmination of life's work of people like Klaus Schwab or George Soros or the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. They're all pulling it together. And, you know, Bill Gates is up in that running too now. You know, I don't know if he's just a bag man or what, because he's a moron who is way over his head with his philanthropy. And he gives away a lot of money, so he might be like Soros, you know. Soros, how does a billionaire give away trillions? He doesn't. He just moves that money. He uses money to start all these little NGOs and activist organizations, and then they go around collecting money like BLM. They collected millions and millions of dollars, so they paid Soros back with interest and then kept the rest. And, you know, that's how he runs his operation. But people like Teresa Hines Kerry, John Kerry's wife, she's one of the biggest donors to the Soros organization, the Tides Foundation and Sierra Club and all of that. Yeah, she throws a lot of money around, too. And all this stuff with Hunter Biden, by the way, Kerry's kid is in on it, too, his stepkid. The kid's last name is Hines. And so is Pelosi's son and Romney's son.
Right.
You know, so they're bag men, too. And that's what they're doing. They're moving money. think nobody, I lost you for a sec. What? Oh, I thought I lost you for a second. Yeah, it's just, it's at the point now where they don't even care if we know. They tell us to our faces what they're doing. They're going after the banks, of course. They're consolidating them, so they're knocking out the little ones. They are saturating the world. They're like shuffling the deck in population. They're sending Middle Easterners to Europe. They're sending Southern Hemisphere people to the United States. They're just, you know, reshuffling the population. So everybody's a globalist. Nobody has national pride anymore. Because what's a nation without borders, right? I don't know why I'm so worried about Ukraine's borders and not our own, but
yeah.
That's another story, too. Did you see that? They found $6 billion that they didn't know they had. There was an accounting error for $6 billion.
Yeah,
I don't know how that happens. You know, okay, $6, I could see. $6 billion, you just shuffle numbers that big, you don't pay attention to decimal points. How do you make an accounting mistake and you give somebody $6 billion extra dollars? Where is that money?
And
judge over there
like
just went.
It didn't go to Ukraine?
Yeah, it went to Ukraine. They gave him $6 billion, too much money. Yeah, and some judge just got fired over there. He was skimming. Just to get rid of a judge. We are in a lot of trouble. You know, I don't even know if we have a country anymore. I think we're going to have to claw it back. I don't think we can save it. I think we already lost it. These people we have in power right now are a joke. Joe Biden's one of the crookest people in the world. So is his family. But he isn't by himself. He had to have help. I mean, Obama was his boss. Tell me he didn't know about it. I mean,
no.
James Clapper and John Brennan said that they briefed him. He knew. You know, that's where that FBI paper came from. They contacted the FBI. But it was they put a lid on it. So I'm thinking Obama's the real big guy anyhow. You know, when Joe Biden was over there in the Ukraine and telling that guy, the prime minister, that if he didn't fire the prosecutor, that he wasn't getting the U.S. foreign aid. And the guy says, well, you're not the president. And he said, oh, you don't believe me? Call him. So that tells you Obama knew about it. When he said, go ahead, call Obama. If you don't like what I'm saying. So that was quid pro quo. But it was also, he invoked, Obama, he invoked the president right there. And then Joe Biden's name is on the bank account with Hunter. So why would he need a 10% set aside when his name's on the account? He could take it all. You know, if your name's on the account, you just write yourself a check and take your own 10% or 20% or 100%. So, you know, that's fishy too. And Obama was letting all this go on under his nose, and he wasn't getting a piece.
Well, why is it that Brandon can get away with saying he didn't say that, and that video we have doesn't exist?
Oh, yeah, it's just your mind playing tricks on you now. It's all over the Internet. We all saw it. He's over there bragging about how he got the prosecutor fired. You know? Telling the story of being Mr. Cool Breeze. He said, I said, go ahead, call him. Which means Obama knew. And Clapper and Brennan both said that they briefed him. They briefed Obama. Oh, well. And then they get this Hunter Biden thing. Hunter Biden pled guilty to falsifying the gun thing, the application, and two counts of tax evasion. But that's a way to say, oh, well, it's over now, and he's been investigated and case closed. They're not going to say the case is closed, though. They're going to say it's still an open investigation, so they don't have to give the paperwork to Congress, to the oversight committees. So they're going to have to say it's still an open investigation. But Hunter Biden's lawyer said, no, this is the end of it. It's not an open investigation. It's closed. But, you know, so there's two different stories there. They said he owes 2 years. He owed $1 million in back taxes, which some sugar daddy paid for, by the way. But they don't tell you where he got the money or how he got the money or what the product was that he sold or, you know, to what service he provided. Influence on what? You know what the influence was on? Think about it. Burisma is an energy company. The Chinese contract, that was an energy company. The Romanian one, that was an energy company. The Iranian one, that was an energy company. So what they did was they are shutting down American energy, putting us completely out of business. That makes a hell of a lot of money for the Ukrainians and the Romanians and the Chinese and the Iranians, doesn't it? Puts them up on top, gives them the leg up in the oil and gas industries. They're making a lot of money. We're not making any. They're making a lot of money. So that's what he did. He sold us out. He sold out our energy. He shut down permitting. He shut down drilling. He shut down pipelines. He shut down refining here. He shut down fracking. He shut down, you know, all the natural gas processes. Shut down coal mines. Yeah, he put us completely out of business on this stupid climate thing that they're shoving down everybody's throat.
And normally being a traitor like that is illegal, but now it's celebrated.
Yeah. Those clapping seals will celebrate anything, as long as it has a Democrat D at the end of its title. They're so mindless. It doesn't matter how hypocritical they're being. Did you see Tucker Carlson when, all right, the Chiron across the bottom of one of the Fox News reports said wannabe dictator, referring to Joe Biden. So Tucker Carlson came out and he did this whole monologue about wannabe dictators, but he never called Biden a wannabe dictator because he would get sued for libel and defamation. But he said, no, Joe Biden's not a dictator. If he was a dictator, he'd be shutting down all the oil. But Joe Biden's not doing, you know, Joe Biden's not a dictator, and he kept saying it. So he did it with the sarcasm in a way that he can't get sued for saying also that, you know, Biden's a wannabe dictator because he said no, he wasn't. And then he gave every example of how he is a wannabe dictator. That was a really good episode. I think it was episode 4. It says Tucker Carlson, wannabe dictator on it.
I have episode 5 in the hopper here if we want to get to it later.
Yeah, it was actually, it was very, very good. I was impressed with that. I liked the way he did it. He did it so he wasn't going to get sued or lose his, you know, privileges and being able to tweet and stuff. But yeah, we're in deep weeds. And I think a half of Joe Biden's cognitive issues, only half, but half are a fantasy. It's an act. Because now that they've opened the door to be able to go after ex-presidents, you know, I think these Democrats think they're going to be in power forever. But what if they're not? And that door's already been opened, so now you can go after all of them.
Yeah, I think after they've done what they have with Trump, he's not leaving anybody out.
No. Trump's the only man on the planet that can save us. I don't care if you despise him. You still know that truth. And a lot of people are seeing that, too. And the rest of the field, they're all suck-ups.
I'm going to stay on record that I like Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's not a suck-up.
No, he's not a suck-up. I do like him. I do like Vivek. Who knows? He might make a good vice president. He's got a lot of good ideas.
Tim Scott kind of let me down.
Yeah. He said that, these charges against Trump are serious. Oh, sure, they are serious, but they're not true. But, I don't know, I heard him the other night, and he sounded an awful lot like Obama. With that church preaching type delivery with his speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounded like he was behind a pulpit and not a lectern. I don't know. I like him. I didn't like what he said about, Trump, but Trump is his opponent, too. I'm trying to understand it, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just trying to
Mike Pence said he wants Trump arrested, so that's going to really help Mike Pence.
Yeah. Mike Pence is polling at zero. And that Chris Christie, he's polling at what, 1%? You know what he said? He said, Trump always wants to just talk about himself. Everything's about Trump. I did this, I did that. Trump. That's all he wants to talk about. And Brett Baer's going, it's all he wants to talk about. And then Chris Christie spent another 20 minutes talking about himself.
Yeah.
You just dogged Trump for doing that, and now you're doing it. I did this, and I did that, and under my administration, and that's exactly what Trump was doing, and you said it was bad. His only job is to try to bring Trump down. He's like Mean Girls. He's just a bully that just keeps going after Trump and going after him and saying stupid things.
Well, you know what's
and
funnier,
doing
Joanne, that what's
what?
Even funnier, though, is Chris Christie is polling higher than Pence. Pence is literally at a zero.
Yeah. And that's where he'll stay. All he had to do was postpone the election certification until he could order an audit of the ballots that were in question. There were significant discrepancies, enough to warrant an audit. All he had to do was postpone the certification and order an audit for the disputed ballots. That's it.
Yeah,
if they came out the same, I didn't hear what you said.
Nobody told them to lie about anything.
No. No one told him to lie. All we told him was to double check.
Yeah.
Just make sure they're legit. If they come out legit, so be it. Certify the election. But if there's discrepancies there, they could be resolved at that point. But not after the certification. Because look at all the trouble he had to go through. Look at Carrie Lake, had to go to court over and over and over again. She's been fighting now for 2 years, and she keeps hitting brick walls. She's made some progress, but she's made some setbacks, too. It didn't have to be that way. All you had to do was check the discrepancies. There were specific ballots that were in question in specific places. It wasn't like the whole election was going to get redone. All he had to do was postpone it. But he didn't. He listened to other people, and his UN handlers. And then he certified the election. And then he got his UN silver piece. They gave him some piece of silver.
If you own...
What?
I'm downloading it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, that's all he had to do. It wasn't like he had a lie. But they pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. And then he said January 6th is what put him over the edge. That whole thing was staged. And we all know it now. All the tapes are out. There's reporters reporting on it. There was more cops there than people inside that Capitol. No one was ever in any danger. They weren't rioting. They weren't just...
Worse than cops breaking stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. They got cops scaling the walls, breaking the windows. just the window in that one window got broken. And that was a setup, too, because after 9/11, they hardened that building. They put shatterproof, bombproof, I mean, every kind of weatherproof, gasproof, sealed windows in every single opening in that building. They changed the doors, they changed the locks, they changed the security, they changed everything. Remember when they had all the scaffolding around and stuff?
Right.
Yeah, they were hardening the building. They had to have swapped out that window in order for that staged break-in to happen. No way in hell a couple of people with a billy club or a battering ram or whatever they were using, wasn't even that big, would have been able to break that window. And then if you saw the way the window shattered, it shattered like windshield glass. So it was like the sliders that you have on your house. The safety glass sliders.
Right.
Yeah, they shatter like windshield. They're meant to break. They have a piece of plastic in the middle. But somebody swapped out that window for that event. And then you have cops opening the doors for people. And then guiding them around. That shaman, they guided him around. And then they made him out to be some sort of like this big hoogie boogie grand foobah. And all he was he's a peaceful pacifist person who was saying prayers for his country. And he thanked the cops, and he was very cooperative. He was no threat to anybody. None of those people in Congress were in danger. Between all the cops that were there and the people that did get shoved in, pushed in through the throng of crowd that was pushing back, and the agitators outside, you know, those people were no threat either. They stayed inside the ropes when they were viewing the gallery.
And took pictures.
They didn't even touch. Yeah, they took pictures. They didn't even touch the paintings or the artwork or any of that. They stayed inside the ropes. You know those velvet ropes on the little brass posts? Yeah, they didn't even go outside those. It's 400 hours of footage.
Yeah, but they can't release it because there's too many feds in there.
Right. They don't want us to see the feds, so they released them to a couple of journalists.
I like what... Who said it? Darn it. Joe Rogan. I think it was.
What did
he say? No, it was Elon Musk. I'm sorry. Elon Musk said, can you tell us roughly how many feds there were? You don't have to show us the video. Just tell us roughly how many
right?
How many feds there were.
Yeah, if there was 1,000 people in the building, probably at least 500 were cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they said that they pulled back security and they didn't have the Capitol Police there. Yeah, they did. They had all kinds of security there. They were in the crowd. They were in the building. So they said, they tell us on one hand, oh, well, Pelosi cut back the security there and the National Guard was turned down. Yeah, they didn't have the National Guard because they had a whole bunch of feds. It was a screenplay, a movie. And
hey,
literally, Pelosi's daughter was filming it.
I need a couple minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. Anyhow, literally, Pelosi's daughter was filming this documentary inside that building. Like I said, nobody was in danger. As a matter of fact, there's a guy who's a bail bondsman here in Florida. And he got arrested. He's still in jail. He had his feet up on Pelosi's desk. So he got arrested for that. He didn't break anything. He didn't touch anything. He didn't steal anything. You know, didn't go through her paperwork or her drawers or any of that. He just took a selfie with his feet on her desk, and then he jumped up and he left. Yeah, he's still in jail. Then you contrast that with what happened with the BLM riots. There was literally buildings burning behind one of the reporters on, I think it was MSNBC. And he was saying, well, it's a mostly peaceful gathering. Dude, turn around. The building is burning down behind you. That was a peaceful fire. I'm sure the people whose business that was didn't consider it to be very peaceful at all. And then you look at the January 6th people just wandering around the building like a bunch of tourists. I'm not saying going in there was right, but that's the people's house. And, you know, usually they let people in. That's why they have the velvet ropes there. You know, that you are allowed to tour the Capitol. So, I don't know. There's a lot of injustice going on. And then you see people who literally burn down buildings, and they never spend a minute in jail. They get arrested, they get booked, and they leave. They go home. Those people from January 6th been in jail 2 years. Those are political prisoners. This was all for politics, and it was a setup. It couldn't have been staged any better if Martin Scorsese did it. So, I don't know. Things are getting really rough out there, folks. And you got to stop paying attention. And you got to stop believing that you are not alone. You know, when you look around at all these people, that's why people are reluctant to talk about these things. The only place you can hear it is on shows like this, or like Proof just brought up, Joe Rogan. Tucker Carlson might, you know, he's got some really good work out there. That reporter, John Solomon, he's pretty good too with Just the News. You can find a lot of stuff on places like Rumble. And War Room is good sometimes. Sometimes it's, I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of people you can cite. Even Dilly, Brendan Dilly. He's got a mouth on him, but he makes a lot of sense, too. Things are just getting weird out there. And they're coming for your children. Look at the stuff that they're exposing these kids to now. We got teachers in California saying, well, so what if the kid can't do multiple, you know, can't do multiplication tables? They know the difference between a riot and an insurrection. So you're teaching these children to be activists. You're not teaching them skills that they can use later in life, like reading, writing, how to do math, even just basic math. You know, how are they going to read a tape measure? How are they going to get a job if they can't read or if they can't write? So you dress them up in their little rainbow shirts and you put them outside with signs and teach them how to march and teach them how to chant, whose streets, my streets. You know, how's that going to help them? And when they do go get a job, they'll have zero skills, zero ability to think on their own. You know, they're just going to march in lockstep like they've been taught and trained. You know, if one of them gets a job at a store, how are they going to count change? You know, they use a lot of cards now, but some people still do use cash. What if these kids, and it's our watch, and then they're having sexually explicit lessons, shows, props. That's not the teacher's job. Why are they teaching them this stuff? You know, I mean, basic health and where babies come from. That's what we used to be in health class. Now they're talking about all kinds of, like, toys and stuff. Just really being graphic with these children. And they want your six-year-old to decide whether it likes boys or girls, or if it is a boy or a girl. The hell does a six-year-old know? They still believe in Santa Claus.
On that, though, I have something that Paul Joseph Watson talked about yesterday, and I wanted to play it for you.
Sure.
Let me get the clip up here. Oops. No, it's already there. So there are legitimately schools now that the kid can be anything and they can respond in that particular animal sound. So a kid could legitimately tell the school that they are Pikachu and they can identify as Pikachu at that point.
Great.
So
schools allowing children to identify as horses, dinosaurs, and cats as pupils communicate with animal noises. What's the UK equivalent of the Babylon Bee? It's not the Babylon Bee, it's real. So if you recall the video I did yesterday, if not, go and watch it. Where two 13-year-old students at a Church of England school were called transphobic by their teacher and threatened with being booted out of their school altogether for disagreeing with the premise that it was reasonable for their classmate to identify as a cat. But it's not even a one-off. Turns out it's rife across the country. Teachers, in fear of being cancelled, are being forced to seriously acknowledge and respond to students who communicate and answer questions via animal noises. We slipped into some absurdist alternate universe or something. What's happening? But forget cats. Identifying as a cat is starting to look like the reasonable end of the spectrum. Some are now identifying as dinosaurs. And another wears a cape and identifies as the moon. In some reported instances, classes have faced severe disruption as pupils insist on answering teachers' questions and communicating via animal noises. A classroom full of kids when they're asked a question by the teacher. Meowing, barking, and roaring in response. Peak woke? Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. In a particularly disruptive case, the newspaper spoke to a student in Wales who claimed a classmate had identified as a cat for 3 years. The pupil complained when they answer questions, they meow rather than answer a question in English. And the teachers are not allowed to get annoyed about this because it's seen as discriminating. Transcatphobic. There's reports they're crawling on all fours and demanding litter boxes in the toilets. They're literally furry cosplaying in schools, describing it as their fursona. And if you don't respect it, you're a bigot. Tracy Shaw, spokesperson for the Safe Schools Alliance, said teachers should be asking themselves, what are these children looking at online? What forums are they on? What is happening in that child's life and who else is involved? Gee, I wonder what could have caused all this? It's all being treated with the utmost seriousness by teachers because they're, quote, frightened of doing the wrong thing. Now the government, which by the way allowed all this to metastasize over the last 10 years and did nothing, is having to publicly dissuade teachers from allowing students to identify as animals. Yes, this is an actual headline in a serious newspaper. Head teachers should intervene to stop children identifying as moons, cats or other neo-genders, Downing Street has said. The same Downing Street, the same government that directs the streets of our capital city and all their government buildings to be adorned with the very occupation flag that demands our complete fealty, obedience, and allegiance to this utter drivel. Get early access to videos, exclusive live streams, and personally...
Wow. Can you imagine that? Think of a classroom full of seventh graders. They are all going to play that teacher. If one gets away with it, they're going to come up with all kinds of different things. However, if this is serious, just say no to it. Come on, people. Now they're acting as furries. They want a litter box in the bathroom. If I was the teacher, I would just say, look, I'm here to teach children, not house pets. Get them out of here. I'll lose the job. No job is worth that. I got to deal with other people's kids acting like zoo animals in my classroom. Oh, hell no. No. And the parents, if they say something to them, what's the government going to come down on the parents? They're bigots?
Yeah. They might have
this
their kids
messed up.
They don't agree that the child could be a Pikachu.
Well, you better raise them with that kid and say, you keep acting like that. I'm going to have a problem with it. And if I have a problem with it, the government's going to come and take you. And they're going to put you in a shelter. At an animal clinic. What do you think they're going to do with this kid? They're going to find it a foster parent? No. They're going to put it in a nut house or an animal shelter. And it can Furby all at once. You know, you got it good around here, kid. Don't start acting crazy because they'll take you. And if they do, you know, whose problem is it? You're the one that pushed it, kid. you gotta level with these kids. You gotta say, oh, honey, that's okay. Oh, meow. The parents should be in the nut house if they prove that. You know, if the kid is mentally ill like that, aren't we supposed to fix the kid? I do have an opinion about this. Wow. I cannot even believe that that's even a real thing. It does sound like a headline from the Babylon Bee, though.
Oh, I know it does.
Wow. What do you do in a case like that?
I just can't believe that's pretty much accepted behavior now.
Yeah, really. Who goes along with it? I was just thinking that. Who goes along with it? You know, when people that say they're going along with it, oh, they're only doing it in front of you. Behind your back, they're talking trash about your kid and you. Believe it.
But how many of those kids are saying, ha ha, I can work the system?
Mm-hmm. Until it backfires on them. And then they don't have mommy and daddy anymore. Who's going to appease them? They'll go off to some parts unknown. God only knows where they'd put a kid like that. Who's going to take that kid? They take you away from your parents because you're a cat or a dog or a dinosaur or whatever it is you think you are. And your parents don't understand. So who does understand? Where are they going to put you? I don't know. That needs more looking into. But you got to level with these kids. I don't remember any of my classmates running around thinking they were cats and dogs and monkeys and whatever they thought they were. We didn't have this problem. Is it something they're injecting into these kids? It's feeding them? What? I don't know what's causing it. But that's not something that's widespread. But now it is. It's a fad. You know, what do they call that? Collective psychosis?
Is that what it's called? I know what mass formation psychosis is, but I don't know what this particular one is called.
Yeah, I think it's collective psychosis. You know, it's just like all this trans business. The trans mafia is pulling on them. You know, I mean, a kid's afraid to say what its sexuality is anymore. They'll say nothing, or they'll go along to get along, or they'll say they're fluid or whatever, and they get labeled, and that's locked in on them. You know, if your kid at 12 is saying, oh, I want to be a boy, and then she's treated as a boy, but then she matures, and she starts liking boys. She don't want to be a boy anymore, but she's locked into this at school, at home. But she wants to be a girl. But how do you tell people, I don't want to be a boy anymore, I want to be a girl? And then they get depressed, and things go south from there. You know, we shouldn't be locking these kids into these labels.
Yeah,
and how many is it?
That doesn't want us to have labels. It's crazy if they're putting even weirder labels on us.
Oh, yeah, they're putting a label on everything. You got to check boxes now. Everything is labeled. Your race, your gender, your non-gender, your ancestors, your job. You know, it's all equity now. They use words. I don't think they understand the meaning of them. They're always changing definite. Equity used to be something you had on your house, which was the earned value of the house. You know, now you bought a house at 50 grand, and now it's worth 100 grand. You have 50,000 in equity. That's what equity used to mean. Doesn't mean that anymore. You know, these kids are getting confused, and the parents are falling for it. And they're all, with their coastal elite friends sitting around drinking their wine in their rose garden and talking about how, oh, my kid is trans and my kid is gay and my kid is bisexual and gender fluid and whatever else they got. You know, and then when they leave that little group of coastal elites and they go talk with family and everything, they'll be like, no, you wouldn't believe her. She says all of her kids are gay. She's the one making them gay just so she has something to talk about and trying to fit in. You know, in the meantime, these kids are like accessories, no more important than a purse. Oh, yeah, Susie, you put on this baseball uniform, and here, you, Johnny, you put on the dress.
Hmm.
You know, there's a lot involved here, not just the kids. And it's all because their TV told them to. It's gay, this gay, that, trans, that. Hanging a flag up in the White House, and it's got everything from LGBT and then Q, but now it's got all these trans arrows and pedophile arrows and symbols, and what is this? You know, it looks like a lunch menu at a mariachi. It's ridiculous. And they hung that.
Then, there are some people that want to add an S to that.
For what?
So for sake.
Oh.
Those are
they
the
want
ones
to add it
want
to that flag?
There. Yeah, they want to add the P for pedo and the S for satanic.
Mm.
And I will never be equal to a Satanist. I'm not giving them any special rights at all.
No. No. I don't want anything to do with them.
Oh,
not my
neither.
Cup of tea. No. And they're not as powerful as they think they are. But why would they add it to that flag? Why would gay people allow that to be attached
because
to them?
And it's the Trojan horse. So it would, if they can add that, then that would be meaningful to, they could say, look, well, we're with all the other ones.
Yeah, well, they're hijacking the flag. There's a few of the groups that are hijacking that flag. Because I know a lot of gay people, and they're not pedophiles, and a couple of them are parents. But,
yeah.
You know, they're not, like, running down the streets with their junk hanging out. And, you know, just simulating sex acts and twerking in front of children while wearing a thong. They're not doing that. They go to work every day. They come home. They mind their business. You know, they just do normal things.
See, the LGB part does not want to add all this other stuff to it. Because it's in the movement.
Yeah, well, the gay people I know, they're not pedos.
No.
I want to read you a horrible story, by the way. I saw this in the Boston Herald. You guys got to listen to this. It's a short story, but it's disgusting. And there's a lot of hush-hush about this. So I'm thinking that they don't want to offend the gay community or these people are illegals. But this happened in Boston. It's from the Boston Herald. Four kids were found in squalor in South Boston. It says, the most underreported story in Boston right now is the fact that over the weekend, first responders were called to a public housing complex in South Boston for a man in cardiac arrest and found a horrifying scene filled with men in drag and at least five children between the ages of 5 and 10. Four children living in squalid conditions while being hidden from first responders were found in an apartment filled with alcohol, drugs, sex toys, and a dead man, according to an incident report and outraged officials. This is sickening, said at-large city councilor Michael Flaherty. I was informed by people at the scene that there were drugs, alcohol, sex toys all around the apartment, as well as a dead body on the floor. The fire department report obtained by the Herald and confirmed by police response states that a Boston fire department crew was sent to Old Colony Avenue on Saturday morning for a call that a man had gone into cardiac arrest. This story's horrible. And required medical attention. That address is the Mary Ellen McCormick housing complex run by the city. However, according to the incident report, firefighters found more than just a routine medical emergency. The apartment was in extremely unsanitary conditions. Approximately six adults, who appeared to be males, were seen in the apartment. They wrote, saying they subsequently found four children in the back bedroom being hidden by an adult male from first responders. According to the incident report, the children ranged from ages 5 to 10. All of the adult parties were being uncooperative and did not provide helpful information. All adults present denied having children inside the apartment. What is going on there? That story has had me upset since I read it. So what's going on there? Nobody knew that's an apartment. That's a project. There are people, wall-to-wall people, that's not like individual houses. It's a project. It's a brick jungle. Now, I've been to that place many, many, many times. I know that place very well. There's no way people didn't know what was going on inside that apartment, all these people coming in and out and there were children there. Unless, of course, they're illegals, and that's why they stopped this story so abruptly. Or they don't want to upset the gay community. Well, the gay community better be very upset about this. I don't care they were all males. I don't care that they were in drag. What I care about is those children, ages 5 to 10 years old, and this is going on in this apartment. What do you think was going on with those children? And nobody even acknowledged that there were children in the apartment. They were being hidden. Why would you have to hide the children? And that's where the story ended. That was shut down. So something fishy there. Who are these children? Who's their parents? Where did they come from? What are they doing in the projects in South Boston? Where was everybody else? You know, you walk up these stairs and there's long hallways and there's a door to each apartment. It's not like it's a little private place out in the country. It isn't. It's very heavily populated. It's wall-to-wall people. So that needs a huge investigation. So I just, you know, now that they're sexualizing children, how are they going to report on that story? Because when you make children sex objects and sexual beings, and now these children are being taken advantage of as a result of this, because everybody thinks it's okay to sexualize children now, or at least the media. We got to put our foot down. And, you know, if you see something, you say something, who are you going to say it to? And what's going to be done about it? Who do you tell? The people that are pulling it off? You know, that's like asking politicians to get us out of this mess. Why would they? They got us into this mess for a reason. Something bad going on up there. Listen, people, just watch your children, all right? Watch who's talking to them. Watch where they're going. You know, if an adult is telling your kid to keep secrets from you, that's when your kid should tell you immediately. Drill that into them. People asking you to keep secrets from me are not safe people. You have to tell me. And whatever the secret is, we'll get through it together. You know, even if it's bad, we can fix it.
So, Joanne?
Yeah?
Is now a good time to play today, yesterday's Tucker Carlson?
Sure.
Okay. All right, we'll check him out right now.
Okay.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. This spring, word began to circulate in Washington that the House Oversight Committee, under its new chairman, Congressman Jamie Comer, had discovered criminal behavior after reviewing thousands of pages of the Biden family's bank records. Now, publicly, to the extent they responded at all, the White House dismissed the investigation as, of course, politically motivated. In any case, irrelevant. Hunter Biden was an adult, so his business dealings had nothing at all to do with his father, in this case, the President of the United States. But in private, everybody understood it wasn't quite that simple. There has long been overwhelming evidence that Joe and Hunter Biden's financial lives are not separate at all, but deeply intertwined. On Hunter Biden's laptop, there's a suggestion that the two of them even at one point shared a bank account. And of course, Hunter Biden wrote himself that he kicked back cash from his foreign business deals to his father. He wrote that bitterly. So the Oversight Committee's investigation was potentially a disaster for the White House, a scandal, possibly even the prelude to criminal charges. So in order to get ahead of all of that, Joe Biden's handlers did the one thing they could do. They set up an MSNBC interview to preemptively whitewash whatever Jamie Comer might find. Here's the results of that. This aired on May 5th.
Sir, there is something personal that's affecting you. Your son, while there's no ties to you, could be charged by your Department of Justice. How will that impact your presidency?
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
Okay, time for the master class. For free, you can audit it. Here it goes. Sir, showing appropriate respect, says the shill, there is something personal that's affecting you. Note the wording. Personal, not of public concern. Nothing law enforcement might be interested in, but personal, a sad family tragedy. That's the framing. And then this, a sentence choreographed to the letter. Your son, while there's no ties to you, could be charged by your Department of Justice. Got that? Well, there's no tie to you. So the answer is, in fact, in the question. Whatever Hunter Biden goes down for, and we know he is going to be charged because MSNBC said so, but when that happens, that's Hunter's problem. It's got nothing to do with Joe Biden. Rest easy, America. 5 days later, the Oversight Committee released its findings, and they were, in fact, devastating. Quote, bank records show the Biden family, their business associates, and their companies, their many companies, received over $10 million from foreign nationals and their related companies, the committee wrote. Investigators had, quote, identified payments to Biden family members from foreign companies while Joe Biden served as vice president and after he left public office. So actually there was something there. It was a scandal. Racketeering, money laundering, wire fraud, those are some of the crimes the Biden seemed to have committed, in addition, of course, to selling out the United States for cash. So what would happen to them? Well, Donald Trump had an idea, quote, they'll hit Hunter with something small to make their strike on me look fair. Trump wrote that about 2 weeks ago, and it turned out those were prescient words. This morning, Hunter Biden pleaded guilty to pretty much nothing. Biden pled to two misdemeanor tax evasion charges, then entered a diversion on a federal gun charge. That's it. As far as Merrick Garland's Justice Department is concerned, Hunter Biden is done. There was no pre-dawn raid carried live simultaneously on CNN. There was no perp walk, no handcuffs, no press conference. Above all, there was no felony. Hunter Biden, who broke federal gun laws, can still carry a gun. It's like it all never happened. In fact, the Justice Department just baptized Hunter Biden, a lifetime of sins washed away in an instant. It was a secular miracle. Most miraculous of all, Hunter Biden somehow escaped a FARA charge. FARA is the Foreign Agent Registration Act, and it is exactly what its name suggests. Under federal law, if you are acting as an agent of a foreign nation in Washington, you are required to register with our government to let everybody know. Well, for decades, pretty much nobody in Washington did register under FARA, and precisely no one was ever prosecuted for it. No one. But starting several years ago, the Justice Department began sending people to prison on FARA violations. The official explanation was, we're cracking down on foreign influence in Washington. And of course, privately, everyone in Washington laughed. They knew that was absurd. In fact, it's the opposite of the truth. Foreign powers have never had more power in Washington. Their agents are everywhere, in every federal agency and throughout business, down to and including in executive positions at various social media companies. The Biden administration knows all of this, and it's not a problem. In fact, it's their policy. From the administration's perspective, the concerns and the demands of, say, the Chinese government, or particularly the Ukrainian government, are far more important than the needs of American voters. We're cracking down on foreign influence, please. The point, the only point, of enforcing FARA after decades of ignoring it is to harass and imprison high-profile political opponents. Trump donor Elliot Broidy pled to a FARA violation a few years ago. So did Trump campaign manager, famously, Paul Manafort. He went to prison. Last year, the DOJ went after Trump confidant Steve Wynn under FARA. But in the end, the Biden administration overreached so comically that the whole thing was thrown out by a judge. But they tried. So as long as they're trying, if it was a fair system, Hunter Biden would be first on the list of those next to be charged with a FARA violation. In fact, many of them. Hunter Biden was a foreign agent. He never registered as one. But for years, that's exactly what he was. He sold access to his father and other lawmakers to the Chinese and the Ukrainians and countries throughout the world. There's no debate about that. The FBI has known about it for years. For years, they've had possession of Hunter Biden's laptop. But they didn't charge him for it today. They never will. Why? Well, you know the answer. Hunter Biden has good genes. A more interesting question, though, which is another question the feds will never consider, is what does Hunter Biden do for a living now? This is a man with no obvious job and, of course, zero skills. He spent midlife smoking crack. Yet somehow he's managed to live pretty well despite rising inflation. He's been living in big houses in the costliest residential neighborhoods in the world. He's been paying his stripper baby mama $20,000 a month in child support. And he has retained a team of the most expensive lawyers in the country who spend quite a bit of time sending threatening letters to anyone who asks questions about how they're being paid. We can confirm that firsthand. So again, what does Hunter Biden do for work? That's a fair question. And tonight we have the answer. For years, Hunter Biden was an influence peddler. Now, Hunter Biden is a self-actualizer. He self-actualizes for a living. He gets in touch with himself, his feelings, and he follows his muse. Here he is explaining his new vocation in a 2019 ABC News interview.
Mm-hmm. This is new.
Yeah.
Studio.
Yeah.
But now he's opening the doors to a place never captured by a paparazzi's lens, his refuge, an art studio where he finds solace in painting.
What's the goal eventually?
No goal. That's the perfect part about it. It's just, it literally keeps me sane.
His refuge, far from the paparazzi's lens. In other words, we're not the paparazzi, we're ABC News. What's the goal of this? Your refuge. There's no goal, he says, grinning with those fake teeth. It just keeps me sane. But actually, there was a goal. And if you didn't know what a virtuous person Hunter Biden was, you might think it looked a lot like money laundering. 2 years after that interview, Hunter Biden was selling prints of his art. And to be clear, just the prints, not the, quote, art itself, but effectively photocopies of it for $75,000 a pop. Apparently, Hunter Biden moved five of these repros in just days. That's $375,000 in less than a week for signing copies of your fake art. As for the paintings themselves, childish self-indulgent blots, those sold for $500,000 apiece. So the question is, who bought them and why? It'd be interesting to know. There's a story there for sure, but of course we have no right to know. There's no public policy implication. It's not like Hunter Biden's finances have anything to do with his father's finances. Meanwhile, once his father did become president, corporate publisher Simon & Schuster lined up as well to pay Hunter Biden's bills. According to news reports, Simon & Schuster gave Hunter Biden millions of dollars for his highly selective account of his wholly unaccomplished life. And then the publisher lined up brainless celebrity endorsers like Dave Eggers and Stephen King to promote it. King, who apparently will say anything if it helps the party, called Hunter Biden's silly manuscript a, quote, harrowing and compulsively readable memoir. And then Stephen King described Hunter Biden himself as beautiful. Needless to say, the book sold miserably, but Hunter Biden got to keep the millions, and that was the point. And so on. This kind of thing apparently happened a lot. Again, there seems to be a story here, and we think it's probably worth learning a lot more about it and bringing it to you. In the coming weeks, we will. In the meantime, though, the question is, what can we learn from Hunter Biden's plea deal today? First off, the obvious. For the children of the people in charge, there are no penalties. There are only upsides. They're princelings. They can do what they want. You are not. Therefore, you can't. So don't get any ideas about cheating on your taxes or violating federal gun laws unless you want to celebrate next year's Father's Day through the glass in the visitor's room. The rules definitely apply to you, including rules you don't yet know exist. But there is also a deeper lesson here, a more disturbing one. What we're watching through Hunter Biden's life and through the Biden administration, now entering its third year, is the total inversion of virtue. What was once considered admirable is now derided as stupid, if not racist. That would include achievement, intelligence, honesty, self-control, humility. Those are features of the old America. Those were yesterday's virtues. They are gone. In their place, all that we once considered contemptible and repulsive, we're told to worship that now. Here's a small example, but we think a revealing one. In addition to his many other sins, Joe Biden has hired what has to be the single dumbest, nastiest, most dishonest, most ridiculous person he could possibly find for the very public position of White House press secretary. There's a point to it, of course. It was a humiliation exercise. It was designed to degrade the country and dispirit the rest of us. That's the White House press secretary? Shut up! But here's the thing. The White House press secretary herself has no idea why she's in the job. She thinks she's amazing. Here she is in a clip we just saw.
A year in this role, there's been a couple of things that has made me incredibly proud. Many things have made me incredibly proud to be at that podium during this historic moment. Again, this is a historic administration. I'm a historic figure, and I certainly walk in history every day.
I'm a historic figure? Imagine saying that. I'm a historic figure, but she does. And she says it in a burst of sincere self-congratulation, marked by her signature bad grammar. Illiterate, but proud. Of course she's proud. Karine Jean-Pierre is now a historic figure, just like Hunter Biden is now an important artist. It makes you feel stupid for going to work.
Jean-Pierre, people say the news is full of lies.
Right. So I figured you'd appreciate that. He hasn't had a bad episode
glad...
yet. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you ran that. What were you going to say?
I don't remember. I say lots of things.
Well, you know, it does give him some airtime. People should hear all that. He's right. We don't have that privilege. I don't see a lot of crackheads lining up to go down and apply for gun permits.
No, but you see them lining up in New York City to hit that vending machine.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't believe you can get free crack and crack pipes out of a vending machine in New York City now. And it's so liberal, though.
Do they even understand what they're doing? Do they know what's going to happen to that city? See what's going on in San Francisco?
Yeah, but
you know,
I don't think they...
I think they should care. In San Francisco, the biggest mall moved out again. The biggest mall moved right out of downtown now. They've had one move out just outside of downtown.
The biggest hotel in San Francisco just gave someone the keys and say, we can't operate anymore.
Nice. Yeah, I heard they were just going to let it go. They weren't going to pay the mortgage company. You know, that's going to happen a lot. In this Westfield Mall now, all the big stores pulled out. Nordstrom's and Macy's and
yeah.
Old Navy. So the mall itself just said, forget it, and they're walking away. So that's all it's going to be in downtown San Francisco is abandoned property. And all these banks are going to be left holding the bag. There is a serious, serious retail and commercial building crash coming. It's already well on the way. You know, we talked about it last week.
Everybody will care, though, right? If
say
they cared, they would get the hints now.
Yeah, they do want it. They do want it. I don't know why. Didn't they want us to all move into the cities and avoid the suburbs? This is having the opposite effect. Now they want to turn the suburbs into cities. You know, in places like California, they are saying that you can't build single homes in some of these suburbs anymore. Now they want you to build multifamily and low-income housing. And if you build a multifamily place, you have to set aside so many for subsidized housing. So, you know, you can't put a single-family home in a place anymore in some of those places. Still can in Florida. But, you know, I don't want to be advertising Florida anymore. 1,000 people a day move to Florida. Do you know that?
So yeah, meanwhile, they over the head that live in Florida as racist.
Yeah, no, they're not racist here. All the communities are thriving here. That's just ridiculous. I was in Miami last week when Trump was at court, and the Cuban community, I just loved being there. They are sharp, they are on the ball, and they are thriving. Everybody, they had music, and they had speakers, they had all their families and friends and children and everybody. They all just showed up to the Trump event, and they were all in their Trump gear and all supporting Trump. It was quite the sight to behold. It was like being at a Cuban festival. And everybody was getting along just great. And all people, all races were there. There was Asian people. It was predominantly Hispanic. But there were a lot of white people there, a lot of black people. All the blacks for Trump were there. Everybody that, not everybody, because there was a few agitators and the usual Antifas, but only just a handful. And they got the attention they wanted, but nobody touched them. Nobody assaulted them or anything. They just were yelling back and forth. But it was just, if that's Trump's jury in that case in Miami, I don't know, I feel a lot better about it. I was thinking that they were setting Trump up to assassinate him. So we all went to make sure that he was safe. But then it dawned on me, DeSantis couldn't have that happen in Florida. That would not look good on his resume if something happened to Trump, yeah. So there was lots of security.
That they're stacking the deck, and they're going to as many different cities as they can. They're making it a we hope Donald Trump gets arrested here tour. I don't know who the opening act is going to be, but that's what it seems like, is that they're hoping eventually a jury will let him stay in their jail for a few years. And it doesn't matter how many times they try.
They're jury shopping, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing it with grand juries right now. But when it comes to a trial jury, that's going to be a little more difficult. But that's why they're shopping for the districts. You're right. They would have a better chance of conviction in a place like New York than they would in a place like Miami. Even though Miami is a blue city, it's not blue enough to put a former president behind bars. Not from what I saw. That crowd was all, you know, a lot of them were from Miami and predominantly Hispanic. and they were supportive of Trump, and they were trying, they were screaming their warnings and on megaphones and telling us, you know, they've lived through this. This is how communism happens. Don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. You're losing your country. And it was just repeated throughout the day from most of those people's mouths. You know, they've lived it. They know the warning signs. And they were trying to warn us. You know, they're sounding the alarms.
Well, but then we still have half of America that would be happy voting for it again.
Yeah, I don't think they know. I don't think they the people that, I think they are so wedded, it's like a Stockholm syndrome with this party stuff. You know, I'm very disillusioned by the Republican Party, but I'm absolutely disgusted with the Democrat Party. And I see all these people screaming at Republicans to stop the Democrats. Well, why do you vote for Democrats and then yell at Republicans to stop them? You know, maybe you should have voted for the Republicans. You put in communists, and then you get mad at the Republicans for not stopping the communists.
Well, it's hard to stop what you voted for.
Yeah. And you got places like Chicago. There's no Republicans up there. In Boston, there's no Republicans there. Even during busing, all those fights and riots and stuff, that was Dem-on-Dem crime. All those fights were Democrat-on-Democrat. Even the city council was all Democrat, and they were fighting with each other about busing. There was no Republicans in that group. This has been going on for years and years and years. San Francisco, where are you going to find a Republican there? You got that Newsom. He's talking about the Republicans this, the Republicans that. There's very few Republicans in his state. And it's a mess. The same with Illinois. Very few Republicans. And it's a mess. Massachusetts, same thing. Maryland, New York, Connecticut. You know, it's all Democrats. And they're all crap holes. But then they blame Republicans. And look at these federal, like, senators and stuff. You got them there 26 years, 35 years, 18 years, 22 years. And they blame Trump, who had been there for four, for all the woes. Everything that's wrong in the world is Trump's fault. Never seeing in a mirror, like people like Nadler and Pelosi and McConnell, Grassley. Oh, you know, I'm not just naming Democrats, I'm naming Republicans too. They've all been there 30 years or better. But it's Trump's fault. Or it's our fault. It's never their fault. And things are getting worse and worse and worse. Prices are rising. Energy is in shortage now. Taxes are through the roof. Fees and, you know, like excise taxes, all that's gone through the roof. Even Dollar Tree is now $1.25.
Right.
That didn't happen with Trump. You know, things were going pretty good. We had plenty of energy at a reasonable price. We had no shortages of baby formula and foods and things like that. No shortages of medicines. He was bringing in all kinds of money with his tariffs. He dropped all kinds of regulations. He did a good job. And he had these people barking and nipping at him and biting at him the whole time. Every day it was another thing they tried to land on him. You know, They've been up this guy's rear end with a microscope. He's clean. Now they're using his words. Anything to try to get him. They checked his taxes. They checked his banks. They checked his underwear drawer. They checked everything. You know, they never told that grand jury about the Presidential Records Act. He's entitled to have all the documents he wants.
So
he's
what happens?
Writing a memoir.
If the jury finds him guilty.
Guilty of what? Not committing a crime? It's not a crime what he did.
Right, but that's what I'm trying to find out. If they say he's guilty, I don't know how they could say this would be a 400-year sentence if given the maximum. For what? But if he's found
guilty...
And if
they would find him guilty, it would be an immediate appeal.
Yeah?
It'll find its way to the Supreme Court.
Oh, I'm
this
sure
is involving
it will.
Another, yeah,
will.
An equal branch of government here. But through him, we've learned a lot, too. We learned about the inner workings of the FISA court. We learned about the FBI. We learned about the CIA. We learned about money laundering. We learned about all of these things. Influence peddling. We learned about crack pipes and hookers and strippers and baby mamas. We learned all kinds of stuff. And even a New York jury found that E. Jean Carroll was not believable as far as her rape case went. But then he called her, you know, a busted ugly or something, and he defamed her. He said she wasn't my type, she was a beast or something like that. Anyhow, he defamed her. So he's got to pay $5 million for defaming somebody he didn't molest. That chick couldn't
and
even remember the year.
Support.
Yeah, she was so traumatized, she'd remember the day, the date, the time. And she didn't tell anybody for 20 years, but then just it dawned on her that she was raped in that bathroom. And they have cameras outside the dressing rooms at that place. That's a high-end store. You know, they see you bring how many garments in with you and how many you come out with. So, you know, I'd like to see what the manager has to say. You got to be let into those dressing rooms. It's always been that way in that store. I don't know. I can't do all that. it's just so much, and they just keep pouring it on and pouring it on. But Biden said he was going to do that. Said he was going to do whatever he could in the Constitution to make sure that Trump never makes it to be president again and never runs for president again. He told us he was going to do it. Now he's doing it. Hey, did you see DeSantis did a fundraiser at the Dominion Lawyers place?
I was waiting for you to share that.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have connections to the Chinese Communist Party, too. They're lobbyists. And he was at a fundraiser.
Hmm.
I don't like that he's taking that money. I know he can't independently, you know, fund this election himself. He's got to take money. But you got to be selective in who you're taking money from. You know damn well that there is a problem with the Dominion machines. It's not like it's a secret. It's not like DeSantis didn't know about it. He does know about it. So why are you taking their money? You know, and then you're trying to get people's votes. But those people know about Dominion voting machines, too. You know, all that money in the world ain't going to help you get votes. You know, he's a good governor for Florida. He should have sat this one out. He should have stayed in his lane. But, you know, now that he's taking all this money from all these shady characters, you know, what sets him aside from the rest? Nothing. You know, Dominion's funding both sides. Soros is funding both sides. you know, where's Chris Christie getting his money to go after Trump? He's polling so low. He's polling really low. Like Trump said the other night, you know, why would I debate these people? You know, you got one polling at absolute zero, another one at 3%, 2%. You know, Vivek, he's doing the best. At him and DeSantis are doing the best. He's got 6%. But so why would he debate those people? You know, you wait till that crowd narrows out.
Yeah, unlike the other side where Robert F. Kennedy, depending on what poll you're reading, is anywhere from 30 to 38%. But Brandon,
I know, right?
Won't debate him because Brandon's the president. He doesn't have to.
Yeah, well, he's doing it right. He's going to all the podcasters and the influencers.
Right.
You know, the people that would listen to him don't listen to CNN or MSNBC. They couldn't care less about it. That's cable news. You know, they get their news from all the other outlets. And RFK Jr. is going to all the other outlets, all the underground outlets. And he's making damn good progress, too. Kind of, I'm really fascinated watching how he's working. He's doing a good job.
Vivek is doing the same thing, though, which I appreciate.
Yeah, Vivek is going around. He's making the rounds. I really like that kid. I really like Vivek. And, you know, Trump's in the market for a new VP. Why not him? You know, I was thinking maybe Carrie Lake, maybe even Tulsi Gabbard. I was thinking Tim Scott originally, but he's got to tread a little more carefully.
Yeah, I think he just Bud Lighted himself.
Yeah, I think, you know, but Vivek is sincere, and he's smart,
yeah.
And he's very well aware of what's going on, and he doesn't look like he can be compromised. So we'll see what happens with him. He seems like a good kid. I'm sure there's, even if he doesn't make it, I'm sure there's a spot for him somewhere. And yeah, he's really good. Nikki Haley, she's establishment, you know.
Yeah.
She's a UN girl.
I like Larry Elder, but I don't think he has a chance.
I like Larry Elder, but he's not known well enough.
Yeah. He's known as the guy that finished second to Gavin Newsom to most people.
Right. Yeah, and he does the pain relief commercial from his boat.
Relief Factor, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't think of the name of that, thank you. But he's not a bad guy. He makes sense, but I don't know. On that other side, that Robert F. Kennedy, he's very difficult to listen to. He said that happened because of a vaccine injury.
Yeah.
That's what got him interested in the subject. It did something to his throat. It paralyzed his throat. It was a flu vaccine. And he hasn't been able to speak right since. Adam Schiff got officially censured today.
Yeah, I was going to ask you follow that because I was going to talk on it, but I figured you would probably be able to do it better justice than myself.
Well, I printed up a couple words here, but DC Drano, one of the people I follow over at Twitter, he writes, breaking, Adam Schiff has been officially censured by Congress, which he was. He said only 25 reps have been censured in U.S. history. And now he has to stand in front of Congress while Speaker McCarthy scolds him for his role in aiding and abetting illegal spying on President Trump. So, I mean, they didn't get him. They didn't fine him. They didn't boot him out of Congress. Now he's just censured, which means that he's got a bad mark. He's going to get a strongly worded letter read out loud. However, before McCarthy could even read the resolution, all the Democrats, they had a snit. they were yelling and screaming, and they were chanting, shame, shame, shame at Kevin McCarthy. They wouldn't even let him finish reading the resolution.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and it was all party lines. The Republicans voted to censure him. The Democrats voted not to. Six people abstained, and two people voted present. They were all Republicans. The Democrats stuck together, lockstep.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat. Yeah. So, Seattle is rehiring work.
Committee assignments, right? He just has the same job he always has, except he gets yelled at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just going to yell at him and tell him off, and that's it. He was a bad boy. Don't do it again.
And then he can go back to bothering Durham.
Yeah, well, he was defiant. He said that he succeeded in his mission, and he's proud of himself.
Hmm.
And then he's fundraising on it. Yeah, he wants Feinstein's job, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter. The fact that he's a Democrat means that he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's running in an all-Democrat state. You know, it's going to be a Democrat. Might as well be him. You know, they're not different. Changing the name doesn't change the policy. If you want to run on a Democrat ticket and you want to be supported by the Democrat committee, then you will follow the Democrat template. It doesn't matter what name is on the ballot.
Hey, Joanne?
Yeah?
Vito wants to say hi.
Hi, Vito. Come on in.
What? What's up? How's everybody?
Hi, Vito.
Hey, Vito.
All is good. How's everybody been?
Pretty good.
Okay.
What's on your mind tonight?
With me, I think it's this bogus Hunter Biden plea deal he got. It's mind blowing what he's being accused of, and I think the pressure was too much. So I think the DOJ probably said, "Listen, just take this and shut your mouth, and we'll take care of it." I've never heard of someone taking a plea before an arrest. This is what I don't understand.
Yeah, I forgot to bring that up, Theo. They had this plea arrangement all meted out before they even brought charges against him. They waited for the deal to be finalized before they said, okay, we're going to charge you with this now. That was backwards.
I don't know what course it was. I mean, backwards, you know, it's backwards to us, but normal for them.
Yeah.
They do it any way they want. He willfully avoided paying the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wesley Snipes did the same thing. He went to jail.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, everything with them is a double standard.
Mm-hmm. Talk about white privilege, huh? Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the kid is privileged. And now they're going to shut everybody up about the laptop and all the other crimes, the money laundering, the influence peddling, all of that. They're just going to let that go.
Well, they're saying that the investigation is still ongoing because they want to see what's in that laptop, and they're not going to release it because it's an ongoing investigation.
The laptop was shopped around to the media long before the FBI opened a case on it. The FBI had it, but there was somebody shopping that around. As a matter of fact, it was John McCain who gave it to Comey. So everybody's sorry.
They know what's in that laptop.
Of course they
do.
They all know what's in that laptop, and they're trying to avoid it like the plague. It's like that Epstein thing. That Maxwell chick is in jail for trafficking children to nobody. He's doing 20 years for trafficking.
Yeah, she did something, though. I mean, I believe that, that
well, yeah,
she
did.
But she was
did
a...
who did she do it with? Who'd she traffic these children to?
Well,
they're never going to tell us
that's
that.
That's what we want to know. That's
right.
What we want to know.
Right, who's the client? And the same thing with Hunter Biden. You know, we want to know about the consequences of the information in that laptop and the money laundering and stuff. And the reason that they said it's still an ongoing case is so they don't have to share the documents with Congress for the oversight committees. You know, every time they ask for documents, they say, nope, it's an ongoing investigation. Now, Hunter's lawyer came out and said today, it's over. It's all done. And then the DOJ says, no, it's not. It's an ongoing case, so they don't have to share the information.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Well, which
they
is it?
By saying that, they keep it quiet.
They're
keeping everyone at arm's length.
Yeah. And they're never going to answer those questions. You know, he avoided paying taxes on millions of dollars. Where'd he get the millions of dollars?
Where
what millions are you talking about? And, you know, what service, what job did he do? What was his exact job description, what he was doing for the money? They're never going to tell us
that. Let me call you right back. I'm sorry. I got to go. I'll call you back in 2 minutes.
Okay. He just calls in like he's your friend. He is. So with me, proof.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I had to vacate for a quick second.
Zoning out. Hey, Seattle is rehiring all those Metro workers they fired over the COVID thing, the ones that wouldn't get the vaccine.
Oh.
There's only one catch. They require the returning employees to drop their rights to sue.
Oh, that's funny.
So they must be expecting one of the lawsuits to be successful. And if they get paid an awful lot of money, everybody who was fired and let go is going to sue too. But something big is up with that. They're just trying to fast track it and everything. WPC says, King County Metro to fast track returning workers fired over vaccine mandate. It says, the vaccine mandate on employment never made sense and are embarrassing policy from the COVID times. It says if it makes financial sense for the workers, the game is on. But it says here the current governor owes the people of this state an apology, and they're offering the jobs back to terminated workers if they promise not to sue. That should tell you a lot. So they must be expecting a successful lawsuit against them because they're just all of a sudden they're hiring everybody back. They were still dogging them last month. No, you're not getting your job back, and go ahead and sue us and stuff. Well, boy, they changed their tune quick. So something's up with that. Hey, what do you think about that sub that's missing? There's a lot of things. There's discrepancies now about the sub itself, about the structure of the sub, about the CEO of the company, about the passengers. There's all kinds of stuff going on. They still haven't found that, you know.
I didn't know enough to get involved because all that was going on while I was on vacation.
Yeah, well, they got this guy who has a company. It's Ocean Gate. And he has these submersibles, and he takes people down to look at the wreck of the Titanic. Now, this submersible has on board a Pakistani businessman, a Saudi billionaire and his son, an ocean explorer, the CEO of the company, and one other guy. I got all their names on it. The sub's carrying five people, a British adventurer, a French diver, a Pakistani father and son, and the founder of Ocean Gate Expeditions, the company that operates the tours. Now, there was a report that they had picked up some banging sounds, but the Coast Guard said it hasn't identified source of the banging yet that they were picking up on sonar. And their air supply, of course, is dwindling. When they first took off, they had 70 hours. But yesterday, they were saying that they only had 40 hours. Today, they're saying they're down to 24. Now, the location of the search is 900 miles off the coast of Cape Cod and 400 miles southeast of St. John's. That's, you know, Newfoundland. And it makes it difficult to mobilize large amounts of equipment quickly. So they said that currently there's 5 surface assets that are searching, and there's going to be a total of 10 surface assets in the next 24 to 48 hours. This article was written this morning. 48 hours is going to be too late. There's 2 ROVs actively searching. Those are the remote operator vehicles that are underwater. So they got some of those deep sea subs looking for them, but those are not manned. There's seven more of those en route, and they're going to be arriving there today, sometime tonight. There's 2 back-to-back P3 flights. One's ongoing, which provides a total of 14 hours of continued on-scene coverage. And then they got 2 C-130 flights. Now, that's in addition to some Navy assets. I don't know what they are. They're not telling us what they are, but they got Navy assets, Coast Guard assets, and then they got help from Canada military and Great Britain's military. Now, the guy who owns it, he's a woke-topian. He says that he doesn't want a bunch of 50-year-old white guys running his operation, so he wanted to hire all young people, and he was going to train them. He used a remote controller from a video game. He modified it, and that's what he's steering his ship with, the submarine. It's not a submarine. It's a submersible. Now, this thing is built by Woketopians, too, 25-year-old kids, and it's built out of an alloy material. It's actually this, I got the whole thing up here of what it's built with, but it doesn't seem very sturdy. And friends of mine are even saying things like, all right, it's 380 millimeters. That means it's 14.96 inches. That's the surface area. So it's 176.6 square inches for discontinuity. So that at 5,500 PCIs, you're talking, that's like a ton. It's actually 1 million pounds pushing on that porthole. The specifications say that the pilot steers using a modified video game controller, and the hull is made out of 5 inches of carbon fiber, and it's propelled by 4 electric thrusters. Now, what type of communications could they have? And if this guy's got 25-year-old kids, you know, they're thinking of surface. They can, you know, have the internet and Wi-Fi and all that, but there's no Wi-Fi 12,500 feet below the surface of the sea.
Oh.
And he said that...
Did they find that sub or no?
Say it again.
Did they find the sub?
No, not yet. No, they're still looking. And that, like I said, they had reported that they had heard some banging, but they haven't been able to locate the source of the banging. They said that the way that the currents go and the way the ocean floor is, that sound can bend down there. So they're having a hard time, you know, finding it. The weather has been cooperating, and I'm really hoping they do find them. But that thing, it seals from the outside. So even if they're at the surface,
yep,
somebody has to let them out.
Yep.
And the pressure that's down there below the ocean, plus it's 32 degrees down there, but the pressure itself, you know, if there was, this is, you know, like the third dive this thing is done, and if there's cracks in that hull or something, that thing could squish like a tin can just from the pressure.
Yes, it can.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's some flaws in the design. But this guy said he wanted his team to be younger and he wanted it to be inspirational. and he said that, you know, he's going to pursue, you know, 25-year-olds, you know, who's like a subpilot or a platform operator. Or one of our techs can be inspirational, he said. So we've really tried to get very intelligent, motivated young individuals involved because we're doing things that are completely new. And then he said safety was overrated. He said, I got a quote for him. It says here, he told CBS News, you know, there's a limit. At some point, safety just is pure waste. I mean, if you want to be safe, don't get out of bed. Don't get in your car. Don't do anything. At some point, you're going to have to take some risks. And if it really is a risk-reward question, I think I can do this just as safely by breaking the rules. So I wouldn't have got on his boat after I heard that. He doesn't want experienced pilots. He doesn't want experienced technicians. He wants to train these kids to do it his way. And he thinks safety's overrated. And then these people pay $250,000.
And look at where he is now.
Yeah. Well, I hope they find him. He's got a few passengers there.
If they find them, they're probably dead by now. But if they find them, it'll be by total luck.
Yeah, they're going to need a lot of luck. Because they ain't got much oxygen left. They got probably about 18 hours of oxygen left. Wow.
I don't know, man. You know, if it's not made out of metal, I ain't going.
Yeah, and this is like a fiberglass alloy blend.
They said it's got a titanium skin, steel, and carbon fiber.
Right.
Nah, submarines are made by metal. Made of metal. I'll take the submarine.
Yeah,
real
this is
submarine.
A submersible. This is just a toy. It's only as big as a minivan. And it's got a bathroom, but it's only separated by a thin curtain. It's in the corner in the back, and they got 5 guys in there. You know, so they ain't got any room to stand or stretch or anything. Their bodies have got to be completely cramped right now. You know, they were only supposed to be underneath the water for about an hour. Pay $250,000 for an hour. But they were going to go see the Titanic and look it over. You know, who knows? They might have got stuck under there. Maybe they are still alive. But I would not want to be them if they're alive. I think I'd rather be just crushed by the pressure because, you know, waiting to die, trying to conserve air. You know, the best thing they could do is hopefully have melatonin on board and sleep because breathing gets more shallow, and you use less oxygen, and it'll lower your anxiety. But freaking out ain't going to help you. And it's pitch dark.
If this ever happens again, are they going to go through the same hiring strategy?
I don't know. He said he's a 50-year-old white guy who doesn't want a bunch of 50-year-old white guys around. He wanted the younger people. Well, I don't think I want inspirational buildings and inspirational bridges and inspirational airplanes and submarines and stuff. I think I'd like them accurate.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in inspirational. You know, and Common Core math and cutting corners and, you know, these kids, they can, you know, run a remote control up on the surface and they can drive a simulator. But when you're down there, you better be accurate. You know, you got people up here who can land a rocket on an asteroid. But this guy's going to be inspirational. What's so inspiring about that? I wouldn't have got in it. I never would have got in it. You know, I'm not one for diving that deep anyhow. I don't scuba dive or any of that. Maybe snorkel, but not scuba diving. Yeah, I like to be able to be where I can breathe air.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to be in some little tomb waiting to die. And it's pitch black dark. If they lost power, they have no light there. That's got to be scary as hell. What a mind thing. I hope they find them. These people are going to need therapy.
Believe me, if they find them, they'll be dead. There's no doubt. They're probably dead by now.
Hey, well, there's no wreckage or anything.
To play something else today, too, I wanted to show you, Joanne, and I'm going to show you the video so you can watch it later, or if you want to watch it now, I'll just I'll get it ready for you here.
What is it?
It's regarding what Saudi Arabia is doing, and I know that we worked on a story regarding the Saudis here in Las Vegas a while back, and we can I'll pull this up, and then if you want to watch
it. Our story was true. Every bit of our story was true, right up to Steve Wynn offering him a place and coming to rescue him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You want to watch the video while we're doing it, or you just want to listen?
Yeah, send it to me.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. No, I see it. Make sure it doesn't have a commercial.
All right.
Okay. Yep, we're good.
Ready? All right, so what Saudi Arabia just announced and stunned the entire world by Off the Curb Ministries. I watch this guy's videos as part of my Sabbath stuff. So I'll show you who he is. 3, 2, 1, action.
Cancel all the plans you have for tomorrow because Saudi Arabia is about to take over the world. Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is creating something so futuristic that once it's finished, it could make him the most powerful man in the entire world. Salman is pioneering the Earth's first ever sci-fi city called Neom. And the clue is in the name. Neom combines two words, the Greek word neo, which means new, and the Arabic word maktakbal, which means future. In other words, the Prime Minister Salman is creating a new future for Saudi Arabia. A new world, a real-life metaverse that no one will ignore. And when you see Neom's master plan, you will not know whether to be terrified or excited. So, without further ado, allow me to introduce you to the sci-fi structure that has broke the internet. Saudi Arabia's goal is to build a country within a country called The Line, a 105-mile linear city that will cut through the Arabian Desert. But take a look at this. If the Crown Prince pulls this off, The Line will actually be the largest building ever built. It will be the equivalent to having 2,000 Empire State Buildings in two lines running for 170 kilometers. It's almost as if Salman is trying to create a hyper-object that is even more perplexing than the pyramids of Giza. Okay, let's ask the obvious question here. What will life look like for these 9 million residents? Well, you haven't seen anything yet. Leaked documents reveal that The Line will have robotic servants, an artificial moon, dinosaur robots, and flying taxis that look like they came straight out of a movie like Fifth Element. However, what is public knowledge is that Neom is going to design a portal that will transport a person from the physical to the digital. The schools are actually going to have holographic teachers, and traveling will be super efficient. Everything that a person could ever need will be within a 5-minute walk. And if for any reason you do want to leave, well, you can travel from end to end in 20 minutes using zero carbon emission. Under normal circumstances, a project of this scale would take 80 years to build. For instance,
The Three Gorges Dam took 17 years to complete, and that was with a team of 40,000 workers. But Saudi Arabia insists that they will complete the line by 2030. And if you thought all of this was just a publicity stunt, well, check out this drone footage. This isn't just a sci-fi movie anymore. Saudi Arabia has already completed 20% of the infrastructure, and they are serious about turning this dream into a reality. But listen to me. When I first began my research into NEOM, I severely underestimated just how staggering this project really is. And when you see this, you've got to admit to me that if the Crown Prince pulls this off, he truly could become one of the most formidable men in the entire world. May I go deeper? Just like Paris hosts the iconic Eiffel Tower, London hosts Big Ben, and New York hosts the Statue of Liberty, Saudi Arabia wants its own icon, its own national symbol that will draw millions of tourists to its capital in Riyadh. And here is the proposed icon. It's called the Maqam, or also known as the cube. This cube will be 400 meters high and 400 meters wide. It will be big enough to contain 20 Empire State Buildings, and the roof itself is very impressive. At the very top of the structure will be a giant-sized lake which will hold billions and billions of liters of water. The cube is unlike anything you've ever seen. Everyone who enters will be transported into a different world. Whether you want to go to the bottom of the ocean or to the surface of Mars, the cube's immersive VR can transport you wherever your imagination wants to go. But first, don't tell me that Saudi Arabia's next project isn't mind-blowing. Meet Trajina. Let's go back in time and let's ask your grandparents if they could ever imagine a Winter Games being held in the Saudi Arabian desert. What would they say? I think they'd call you crazy, and so would I, until I saw this. In October 2022, Saudi Arabia signed an agreement to be the chosen host for the 2029 Winter Games. And in just 3 years, they claim they will turn this arid desert into a luxurious ski resort. They'll be using 100% artificial snow, for obvious reasons, and they are also going to create a winter village called the Vault, sandwiched between two mountains. Are you imagining this right now? The stakes are so high, and this deadline is non-negotiable. So Saudi Arabia have put $500 billion behind this project to ensure that it will be completed. And again, just consider how much prestige, how much fame this will bring to the country if the Crown Prince's plans come into fruition. I wonder if I should share this with you, but I am curious to know, did Saudi Arabia choose particular symbols in their designs of the NEOM projects? For instance, we've got the line, we've got the cube, we've got Trajina, which is an interesting shape, and then one I haven't shown you yet is NEOM's luxury island, Sindala. And I know I've got an overactive imagination, but it kind of looks like a sea creature to me, like a leviathan with sharp teeth and even a cord coming out of its nose. And then another project which Prime Minister Salman is donating his wealth to is definitely meant to look like a sea creature. Pangaeus, named after Pangaea the supercontinent, is going to become the world's largest yacht and the first itinerant floating city, which will accommodate 60,000 people on this $8 billion turtle. And some of you are already aware of NEOM's other project, Oxagon, which, let's be honest, the clues in the name, it's no surprise what shape this is. And this is Saudi Arabia's plan for an industrial floating city. So what am I saying? Effectively, I'm wondering, is there a hidden narrative? Is there a story that weaves all of the projects together in NEOM, and we've just never been told about it yet? So, over to you. What do you think about NEOM? Do you think that it's a groundbreaking new world? Or do you think it's a holographic nightmare? Well, Saudi Arabia has certainly received its lion's share of criticism for NEOM. The most immediate question is, where will Saudi Arabia get the money to finance all of these projects? Because did you know, all of them combined will come to a total of $1 trillion.
And it's no secret that Salman's plan is to put his country back on the map as a wealthy superpower by diversifying their economy away from oil and into tourism and technology. But will Saudi's public investment fund garner enough investors to fund such an ambitious project? Another controversial question that does need to be asked is, will Saudi Arabia complete all of these projects in time? As I said earlier, some of these structures are predicted to take as long as 80 years to build. And yet, what is the deadline that Saudi Arabia has set for itself with all of these ambitious proposals? 2030. Because NEOM's tagline is the 2030 vision. And Trojena, those Winter Games, have been promised to be completed as early as 2026. Now, without being too skeptical, this isn't the first time that Saudi Arabia has not fulfilled its assignment date. Back in 2013, it began construction on the world's largest skyscraper called the Kingdom Tower. What an interesting name. We'll come back to that later. But this proposed ginormous skyscraper, now named the Jeddah Tower, was supposed to be completed in 2018, but was suddenly ceased due to unforeseen circumstances. It even garnered the interest and backing of financial investors like Bill Gates. But now, this tower has a very uncertain future. Guys, I might be way off on this one, but personally, I actually do believe that the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman will achieve his plans for NEOM. And I believe that the whole world will be stunned, will be shocked, and will look out at Saudi Arabia and be amazed that they completed all of this technology in the space of just a few years. But I actually find one of Salman's goals a little concerning. Part of NEOM's project is they plan to build a causeway from Saudi Arabia to Egypt, which will connect Africa's continent to the Middle East by bypassing Israel. Now, on the surface, this might seem like a revolutionary idea, but the Bible predicted such a coalition, where all the nations of the world will join together in unity, and they will march to Israel in an attempt to take God's people out. And again, perhaps I'm just reaching here. Again, perhaps I'm just using my overactive imagination. But this causeway potentially could be a terrifying tool in the hands of the wrong person. The Bible says, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces." In other words, there is coming a day, a future event, when a kingdom will rise up, a new empire which will consume all other empires of the past. And this kingdom will be ruled by one man who will capture the hearts and minds of the nations. He will even capture the heart of Israel until he turns on them with the world power he has accumulated. I know exactly what you're thinking right now, and the answer is, we don't know yet. There are many speculations of who this man is, and those of you who subscribe to my channel have already heard my speculations here, but ultimately, we will not know until we know. But there's one thing I'm pretty certain of, and it's this. In the last days, a new future, a new shining world will be promised to us, and there will be a great falling away where men and women who are captivated by this new world and its laws, they will unite together against God, just like the people did when they built the Tower of Babel. You already know that every man and woman craves power. You already know that every nation of the world wants to go down in history as great. And that is why Saudi Arabia's Kingdom Tower is to be expected. Because everyone is just trying to build their own kingdom, and very few care about building Jesus Christ's kingdom. That is what the motive was for the Tower of Babel. The Bible says, "And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." You see, the people wanted to build something unforgettable. They wanted to leave a legacy behind. And today, nothing's changed. Today, people are working on big, huge projects. They're building everything. They're trying to create heaven on earth, as if this earth is all that we have. And yet the Bible warns us that one day everything in this earth will be gone, will be thawed away, will be melted, will be destroyed. All those great big towers that have been built will one day collapse, and everything that is invested into this life alone will vanish away. But the builders of the Tower of Babel had to learn this the hard way. They too wanted to build a new future, a new world, and they had one leader to help them achieve their goal. This man was called Nimrod, and his goal was to unite the people to come against God. In fact, the translation for the Tower of Babel in Babylonian literally means the gate of God, or the gates of God. So they built what was likely a ziggurat kind of structure, which had steps on it. So they had the aim to be able to climb all the way up to heaven with their desire to try and dethrone God. It was an arrogant revolt against God. And just like today, modern day people, they can only unite over things that are against God and his laws. So the people of Babel declared their hatred against God by creating a united nation that spoke one language and refused to be scattered across the earth like the Lord had commanded them to do so. And you know exactly what happened next. God actually came down to them, and he confused the languages. He made it so hard for them to understand what each other was saying that they had to halt the building project right there in their tracks. You see, God was not mocked, and the people quickly migrated away, and they started their own people groups. And that's why today we have a diverse world, repopulated, big, abounding in lots of different peoples and cultures, just like the Lord had always intended. But I know some of you don't get it. Some of you are saying, Joe, why is unity such a bad thing? Why would the Lord God want to stop unity from happening? Well, that will be the exact voice, the exact mantra of this one world ruler. He will bring everyone together, and he will make world peace happen. But the problem is, he will bring about unity in the things which God hates. But above all, remember this, God also wants unity, but it's got to be godly unity. And believe it or not, God also wants us all to speak one language, and that is the language of the cross. The Bible says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. There is one who joins all tribes, all nations, all cultures together, not by some ideology, not by some sin, but through sacrifice and love. And again, without being too critical of NEOM, the problem with NEOM, if we're honest, is it won't benefit ordinary people. It certainly won't benefit the poor. Those who will benefit from NEOM are those who are rich, who are affluent, who have a luxurious lifestyle already. And yet the message of the Bible is that Jesus came for both rich and poor, and he benefits all who will come to him in faith. Instead of men trying to climb up to heaven and reach God with their big skyscrapers and their huge structures, did you know that God climb down to us? He came down from heaven. And may I add, he did not take an artificial hologram of himself. No, he came down with a real body, Jesus of Nazareth. And this man lived amongst us. He had a skin, a flesh like you and I. And when he came down, he did not come down in the same way as he came down on the Tower of Babel in judgment. No, he came down in love, not to condemn people, but to save them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the most beautiful thing that this world has ever seen, what did the world do with him? They did not put him up on some technological structure. No, they nailed him to an old, plain, wooden cross. And there on the cross, the Lord suffered for my pride and your pride, for your lies and my lies. For all the times we've rebelled against God, for all the times we've come together as people and united over wrong things and committed wicked, shameful things, there the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled with God, and he was the substitute for our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven was full of splendor, full of riches, and yet what happened to him? He died the most humble death and was put in a lowly, dark tomb. But here's the wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ left behind a legacy that no man can ever match, a legacy that forever goes on because he resurrected himself. He rose himself back from the dead. And if that fact is really true, if it is really true that God came down from heaven, lived amongst us, died on a cross, and then on the third day rose from the dead, that fact changes everything. And it doesn't matter whether the world is going to put $1 trillion into projects. It doesn't matter whether a world is going to have all these massive, wonderful, big things that are going to happen. If it is true that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead, that changes everything. And this God-man Jesus commands you right now to take up your own cross and to follow him, to come to him in faith and be forgiven of your sins. And I'm asking you right now, have you done that? And if the answer's no, will you do that? But you say, that's interesting, Joe, but there are so many other religions in the world. Why is Jesus Christ the only one that I should follow? Why should I reject all other worldviews and follow after Christ? Well, did you know this? That
there's another 4 minutes, but I'm cutting it early. I basically wanted to get your thoughts, Joanne, on... See, Saudi Arabia is quietly wealth building, whereas China has money, but they're also hemorrhaging money at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So Saudi Arabia could be very quietly telling everybody to hold my beer and taking over the world's superpower from China.
Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. They got the money to do it, and they have the resources. I love that wall. As a matter of fact, I wrote to Trump, and I told him to do exactly that with the wall on the border. I said, don't just build a wall. Build a whole city at that wall. Put theaters and restaurants and hotels and all kinds of things at that border. Put public transportation, be able to get to from one end to the other. Put a military complex there. Put a golf course for all the generals and stuff. So, I mean, I think it's a fabulous idea. I don't think it's, you know, to become ungodly, but that is really futuristic thinking. It's impressive. I saw that yacht, too, the one shaped like a turtle. I saw that in a thing that went by on Facebook, and I looked at it. It was beautiful. But it is. It's like a floating city. That's some amazing architecture they have planned. And I don't doubt that kid will do it. That kid is smart, Mohammed bin Salman, the son.
Right.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think he attended Virginia Tech, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, he's a very, very smart kid. He's not that old. I don't know if it's against God. That would be very, very wrong and very, very bad, and it will never succeed if it is. But from what that guy was just showing on that video, I think it's spectacular. I think it's beautiful. And, you know, self-sustained and clean and I don't know, that could be one heck of an environment. But that wall thing, I wrote to Trump and told him to do it that way. You know, don't just put up a fence. Make it beautiful. Put a whole bustling everything down there.
Oh, I was going to get Vito's opinion, but he dropped. So, Vito, thank you for calling in if you can hear me.
Yeah, Vito, thank you. I hope whatever your emergency was, it's resolved.
So I wanted to play one more clip tonight. This is Fox News. Not that I'm a huge Fox fan anymore, but
They had an interview with Mark Cuban, and Mark Cuban is saying that what Bud Light did was great for business.
Yeah, right. He's another one, Woketopian.
So let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
Joining us now, O'Leary Ventures Chairman Kevin O'Leary. Kevin, it's always great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get out of the gate with this, because Mark Cuban is still saying, kind of doubling down here, that going woke is good for business, whereas if we look at a company like Bud Light, it clearly wasn't. And do you think the CEO going on a listening tour right now is going to help turn this ship around?
I don't think that's going to work. He is going to get an earful. There's no question about it. And the problem with that tour and that idea is it keeps it as a frontline press item. And so this is unprecedented in the beer industry. Beer brands take decades to build, and usually you're fighting to 1% to 2% share per year by spending hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising. This has never happened before. No beer brand has ever lost 25% market share in a matter of hours. It's so unprecedented that there is no playbook for this. So, you know, I'm sure after whacking all the marketing people who were thoughtless on bringing this idea forward, never thought, who do they sell beer to? Beer is a commodity. The only difference is brand. And so you really have to protect your brand every way you can and understand your consumer and read the room. I mean, obviously, you can have any kind of discussion about gender neutrality or social mores and all of that, regardless of your politics. But if you don't understand who's buying your brand and you enrage them, which seems to be what happened here, you don't know the outcome. And now we can measure it. 25% market share. This is so extraordinary that I'm planning to teach it this fall in the colleges that I visit and guest lecture at. I've never seen a brand case like this one.
Kevin, I want to get your take on this as well, maybe something you can teach about as well. Employers are getting fired for standing up to shoplifters. It's something we're seeing more and more of. The latest example is a 75-year-old woman fired by Circle K for defending herself from an armed shoplifter. Here's what she had to say in response. Listen.
I was upset because I had put a lot of years with this company. I worked hard for them. I if they needed me, if somebody called in, I was always there for them. I did just about everything in that store to keep it neat and clean for the customers.
Kevin, you're a business owner. She was trying to do her job, protect the company that she worked for. Should she have been fired?
Obviously, this is another social media nightmare for this company. No one even talked about Circle K till this story broke. You know, there's something happening here, and boardrooms across America and all the S&P 500 companies and all the mid-cap companies are waking up to the fact that they don't control message. Social media controls message. And so if you don't monitor what your policies are or who your managers are or what you do in your stores or your services, and customers are unhappy, they go to social media. And when it goes viral, it's extremely damaging. And here we are talking about this particular company. Do I think firing a 75-year-old woman is a good idea? Does anybody think that's a good idea? That's sheer stupidity. And now whoever did that is going to have the focus of their management on top of them thinking, why didn't you think about this? Why not just think as a normal human being if firing a 75-year-old is a good idea? It's a dumb idea. And now that company is probably going to suffer in terms of sales, market cap, whatever you want to measure, because people are really outraged at things like this. And this is an incredible time in America. You've got this automatic feedback mechanism, and you have to learn how to manage it. Mm-hmm. Social media is incredibly powerful, and you can watch it happen and go to work every day. The most damage is done on negative stories like this. Mm-hmm. And now, with this new trend, they don't go away. They just keep cycling. You know, Bud Light is the gift that just keeps on giving. It's extraordinary.
Kevin, I want to go to another story that I've been following. It was called Boomers Are Hooked on Stocks. About two-thirds of adults over the age of 65 have money in equities. Now, equities, some of it is good. I think we're probably trying to keep up with inflation and recover from the horrible impacts that zero and negative interest rate policy had on savers. But if we're thinking about more principal protection, should we start to be thinking about maybe getting rid of our addiction to equities and looking at bonds too?
Excellent question. And, you know, over time, there's always been some fundamentals in investing. First of all, trend, I love the idea of young people getting involved mm-hmm. in savings and investing. I mean, this is important. Financial literacy is what we're so weak at in America. We teach kids everything, sex education, geography, you name it. We don't talk about debt and don't talk about the future and how they have to protect themselves for when they're 65. So that's good. Now, the classic portfolio, and this came from a woman, my mother, who taught me when I was 15 some basics. She said, son, go 60% in equities, 40% in fixed income, no more than 5% in any one stock, and never more than 20% in any one sector. This, back in her day, there were 10 sectors in the S&P. We added real estate, that was 11. I can't believe how powerful that information was. I've built companies around that information. Mm-hmm. I look up at the sky and thank her for it. It's such a simple idea. It's diversification. So a little fixed income, now that you can get more than 5% on, mm-hmm. on bonds, is great, even treasuries. But with stocks, people let themselves get too concentrated. Never more than 5%. If a stock moves past 5% of your portfolio, sell it down, like a Tesla or an Apple or whatever it is you're in love with. Trim it back, mm-hmm. and never more than 20% in any one sector, like energy or technology. Thank you, Mom. It really works.
We need more good moms like yours that are out there. Kevin O'Leary, thank you, and thank you for the advice as well for our viewers. We appreciate it.
Hmm. Yeah, he's a piece of work. You know, sometimes he makes sense, and then other times he just goes all the way off to the left. You know, he's good with the market and money, but I'm not going to look to him to take advice on cultural things.
No, not really, but I'm never going to say that losing 25% of your net worth is good for business. But then again,
no.
That's not putting into the fact of what we talked about before, where they're entertaining their number one client, which is BlackRock. They don't care that much about the sales.
Mm-hmm. BlackRock just got in the running to rebuild Ukraine.
Hmm.
Yeah. They're looking for investors and money and all kinds of stuff. So they're right there in the thick of things. They want to protect their investment now. There's a lot of money over there.
Yeah, Vito's
yeah,
back with
us. Yeah,
it's
all our money.
Yeah.
And it's all our money. Remember that.
Yeah, it is.
This is
yeah,
what
it is.
I understand,
we do, you know,
why we're funding this.
Because they're skimming.
You know, and that, it's just, you know, what's going to happen next? Like they say, if Russia wants to go into Poland, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Rand Paul's been screaming for a special person to find out where all that money's going and seeing how it's being spent, you know, oversee this money. And Congress voted against it. They don't want to oversee where this money's going. They just want to keep sending the checks and keep your mouth shut and don't ask any questions. Don't ask where the money is. What money? Didn't see any money. Everybody's taking a piece of that money over there in Ukraine.
Mm.
Not just Ukrainians. You know, this guy entertains more high-powered guests for a war zone. He sure has a lot of company. But you got people like Grassley, Pelosi, Schiff went over there. Who else went over there? Everybody went over there.
Well, not just that, but he has time to go on, like, the Tonight Show and stuff.
Yeah, and he's entertaining actors and actresses. Yeah, he's can run around the world wearing his green shirt. You know, he's got all this money. He should buy himself another shirt.
Hmm. That's true.
It looks like he wears the same shirt every day.
It's like Zuckerberg having the same black shirt.
Yeah. How many green shirts can this dude have? And they're all the same color green, too. Yeah, he's just an actor. And he's playing a role. He was placed in that position. This is part of Soros' color revolution. They overthrow the real government over there, all under Obama. And now they're the fruits of their labors. Biden's getting a piece, Pelosi's getting a piece, Kerry's getting a piece, Romney's getting a piece, and that's just through their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these Republicans who are sending money over there, you know they're getting a piece too. I wonder how much money actually makes it into Ukraine. And when it gets there, all those politicians divvy it up. It is a massive money laundering operation. We are being pilfered. It's, you know, it's just a vacuum. They're just sucking the dollar bills out of us. I can't believe we're doing this. And
but it's possible that enough people say that it's fine, because they're not feeling the pain just yet.
Yeah, well, they're giving the pain incrementally, so they are feeling the pain, but they don't know it because they get a little bit of pain, and then they get used to that. So then it's not painful anymore, and then they get a little more pain, so they adapt to that. You know, if it hit them all at once, excruciating pain, yeah, they'd make a big deal out of it. But there's baby steps of pain. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to get out of it. You know, it's like trying to dig yourself out of a hole. You can't dig yourself out of a hole. You have to put dirt in the hole to get out. So you're going to have to dig sideways. That's where we come in. You dig at an angle, and you put the dirt behind you. So eventually it'll level off, but it's going to take all of us to dig sideways. None of us are getting out. I'm really upset about the condition of this country right now. You know, the world as a whole, but this country especially. This is our country.
I just wonder sometimes, though, if it's just us that are overreacting because the average person on the street doesn't care.
They got to start caring. You know, a lot of them are oblivious. But a lot of them know what's going on, and they don't know who to talk to about it.
Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't mean I'm going
to
stop
connect.
Doing. I'm just saying that there's a lot of dodo birds out there.
Oh, there sure are. Yeah, some people will say, oh, I don't get into politics. No, this isn't just politics, folks. The politicians are pulling the strings. But that's because we give them power. They only have the power we give them. That's what people don't realize. We can withhold their power. We can withhold consent. They operate under the consent of the governed. Withdraw that consent. We can do that, but we have to stick together. And that's the problem. And we have to find the others. And that's also a problem. Because they've shut down any type of mainstream communication that people could possibly have. Even during COVID, they shut down bars and restaurants and gyms and churches, anywhere where people would gather. You could go to a strip club. I don't think there's a lot of political talk going on in the strip club.
No, not usually.
But in church, you could talk about politics and get people riled up. In schools, you know, bars, people will talk about it. The day crowd, not the night crowd, but the day crowd will talk politics. You know, the night crowd, they're there for entertainment and jukebox and, you know, that type of stuff. But in the daytime, people will go to a bar and have a couple of drinks and lunch and talk to other patrons, and conversation will turn to politics and, you know, all those politicians, this and that. But eventually they get around to it. So if we gather, if we have something like, what was that medium, Pala? You know, people were gathering at Pala. They shut that down. You know, they tried to shut True Social down. Breitbart, they've always been trying to shut them down. So people are afraid to say things. Look at Fox News. They got rid of Tucker Carlson. They got rid of Dan Bongino. They canceled that Judge Jeanine's show because she was a Trump supporter. She must have redeemed herself, found a way to keep her contract because she's back on, but she's only on the five. They don't really put her anywhere else. So she must have at least sued for her job back on the five. Yeah, it's over at the other news media. You're not going to get any kind of communication ability. They are absolutely stuck in their agenda. And they are like echo chambers. You'll hear the same words, the same phrases coming out of all the anchors on all of the networks. So you know they get their talking points in the morning, and this is the phrase you use. They must poll test these things like they poll tested MEGA. You know, when Joe Biden says all those ultra mega people.
Yeah.
You know, he might as well say, na 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 na, you got cooties. Because it sounds juvenile. You know, making a mockery out of MAGA. Do you know what MAGA stands for? Make America Great Again. Why would you think that was so bad, such a bad thing?
And now he talks about he wants to make America great.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, the guy's delusional. But I was thinking that he was off his rocker. And he is, somewhat. But some of it, he's a conniving fiend. And he knows exactly what he's doing and saying. But he's playing a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes down to it, if he ever gets in trouble, you can say, I don't know, and people will believe it. They'll say, yeah, he doesn't know what bus stop he's at. How's he going to know what he did 10 years ago or 5 years ago? He knows.
Yeah, that's funny how he could just play stupid.
Mm-hmm. He's good at it. But he's had years of practice. I wonder if he's still drinking. Remember when he was introducing the Obamas in Pennsylvania when they were first running? And he was wrecked. He was hammered.
Mm.
Yeah, Michelle rolled her eyes. She wouldn't even let him put his arm around her. Yeah, he was quite tipsy then. But he's had a drinking problem for a long time. And then I wonder if he's still drinking. Sometimes it seems that way. I don't know, Proof. We gotta work harder at this. We gotta reach more people. We gotta get them to realize that, you know, they're not alone. That their thinking is correct. They're not conspiracy theorists. It's all playing out right in front of them. You know, at this point, they're not trying to hide it. So anyone who can't see it, really, they're either lying or they're a hopeless cause. Keep walking. We have no time to educate them like we have been. Now we just got to say, well, can you follow orders? That's what it's coming to.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. And they distract us with things like Hunter Biden and this submarine, and they'll play that until its conclusion. But it'll be the highlight. It won't be just something that they poke in on. Meanwhile, border crossings are up, by the way. They're not talking about that much anymore, but they're up 25% since last month. That's a big number.
Oh, yeah, they took that completely off the news.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayorkas is still out there trying to say the border's been fixed.
No, you know what they're doing now is they gave them these phones with this app on it. So to make it look like they're not coming as quickly, they're making appointments. And then they get to the border, and they get let in. They make appointments on the app to apply for asylum. So their appointment comes up. They go to the gate. They say, I'm here to apply for asylum, and they get let in. But it went from 28,000 in April to 35,000 in May. So that's up 25% in 1 month. There's a lot more people coming across that border than there were last month. And every month it's increased. So we're being invaded. If they were wearing clothes like Zelensky would notice it, because then they'd look like an army. But unarmed in their Biden shirts, in their free phones and Salvation Army backpacks, they don't look like an invading army, except that 82% of them are single males of military age. That, too, is a big number. So you got 35,000 people.
What if Kurt Adams is able to get people that will say, yeah, I'll take in some illegals in my apartment?
I wonder if he did. You know, I wonder what it's worth to sell out your country. What, $125 a head a day?
Yeah.
Really? So you take in four of them, that's $500 a day. Some people will sell out the country for that. But that just makes it, you know, you're aiding and abetting in the invasion of your own country. And I don't recommend you do it.
And that's if they don't shoot you because they don't have enough food to eat or something, or you didn't buy any halal meats.
Yeah, well, how are you going to get them out once you get them in, too? All right, everybody, I'll see you next Wednesday. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for inviting me. Vito, if you're out there, thank you for calling in. I'm out.
Hey, everybody else goes on negative tomorrow. Hold on.